Welcome to the War Room with Mike Blanco. Prepare yourself to get dropped into a new subject each week as a soldier's diligence meets entrepreneurial challenges in today's marketplace. So sit back and enjoy the tactics of the War Room with Michael Blanco. Here's your host.
Thanks for tuning in to the War Room podcast. I'm your host, Mike Blanco. We have an incredible episode for you today. With me today is Sergeant First Class retired Rob Carpenter and Dr. Nathaniel Chapman. We're going to be talking about a very special issue, something that's close, near, and dear to my heart and everybody on this podcast heart, and that is the issue of veteran mental health, specifically suicide and PTSD. So Rob Carpenter is a professional entrepreneur. He's an executive chef, owner of 53 restaurants, to include a very successful Mexican restaurant. He's also a co-owner of a low-carb keto meal prep delivery service that serves various college sports teams at Ohio State and Columbus Crew and thousands of clients within Ohio. He employs 500 people. He has a degree in business, a master's degree in business administration from Penn State, an advanced culinary degree from Le Cordon Bleu. Did I say that right, Rob?
Yes, you did.
Le Cordon Bleu, Pittsburgh, PA. He's a veteran with 9 years of service as an 11 Bravo and deployed twice, once to Iraq in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation New Dawn, and then one time with me to Afghanistan as part of Operation Enduring Freedom. Dr. Nathaniel Chapman is a clinical psychologist, consultant, and professor. He works as a supervised psychologist at a private practice and is president of Chapman Training and Consulting. He's also an assistant professor of psychology at Marshall University. He holds dual bachelor's degrees in social science and psychology from St. Thomas Aquinas, master's of science in counselor education from Florida International University, my alma mater as well, a master's of science in psychology and doctorate of psychology and clinical psychology from Carlos Albizu University. He holds certifications as a mental health first aid instructor and mental health first aid instructor for military and veterans. He himself is also a veteran with 6 years of service as a 92 Yankee, where he served from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the 2nd Aviation Detachment in West Point, New York, and Kent State University ROTC. His passion is helping people and being all that you can be. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, Rob, we're really here, and Dr. Chapman, thank you for joining us. You're gonna shed a lot of light on the mental issues that face veterans. But before we get to that, what I really love about this dynamic and this panel that we have on the show is both of you are entrepreneurs and small business owners, right? So Rob, like talk to me a little bit about that. You own 53 restaurants, a keto food delivery service. You're also a menu consultant in Ohio. So like, how'd you get into that? And what skills did the military give you to like become an entrepreneur?
Sure. Well, I mean, being an executive chef in itself is a lot of hard work, a lot of attention to detail that the military ultimately provided me. I would say that exiting the military, I really wanted to go forth and do something that was worth my time, and getting into being a chef, for me, I felt like I had the tools, the credentials to do it. Like Mike said, I own 53 restaurants throughout Northwest Ohio. One of them actually services all the way up to Pittsburgh area. My keto low carb meal prep service actually services the Columbus Crew and the Ohio State football team. We do anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 meals a week.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I would say
like 600 to 700 when you first started, right?
And it grew so rapidly that we had to buy a facility, and now we actually own three facilities that we cook out of. I have four assistants that help me with that business alone. So a lot of communication, which ultimately we're going to go back to the way that the military set me up for this success, communication skills and work ethic are just a couple of those things. But I'm very happy to share my story with you today and to share some of the background.
Awesome. Now, Doc Chapman, you're a bit of a renaissance man. You do a lot of different things. You have so much education. I think it took like 5 minutes of this podcast just to like run through all of your credentials. So what got you to sit there and be like, hey, I have all this knowledge. I want to go be a consultant. And can you talk to us a little bit about what you do as an entrepreneur in your consulting business?
Sure, Mike. Well, a couple things. I just wanted to add that it was 6 years and 11 months. You know, I just wanted to.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to short you, man. Those 11 months are important.
Yeah, no problem. So, and I have to do one disclaimer. So since I'm on here and I am a clinical psychologist, I want it to be known that this, even as I'm talking to Rob, this is not a client therapy thing. And any advice that people gather from here is not coming from the standpoint of therapy. Just have to say that. In terms of, you know, my history and becoming a consultant, it was a journey. When I first got out of the military, which was in 2005, I did start a business venture. I've always been a kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, I had a lawnmower company when I was little. But what I tried when I first got out was I was going to buy like equipment and sell it, like different types of things, like wholesale. And I ended up trying to get some money, funds from some individual that ended up being a scam, took all the money that I had. And it was actually very rough, my first venture with business in that way. Then fast forward, it was 2009, once I decided to, it didn't start as consulting, it started as coaching. I just got my master's degree in counseling. And I had this knack for coaching. It had been an idea in my head for a while. I started there, and it's morphed throughout the years to consulting as my credentials have grown. So it's been a process. It hasn't, you know, been immediately successful, but it's been a process. And I think that's how business is. Sometimes it's a grind.
Right. It's that entrepreneurial journey, right? That I think veterans especially are really equipped to go into, just because if you look, and I talk about this in last week's podcast, you know, the SBA published an article from 2016, and they talk about how veterans are 45% more likely to have a successful entrepreneurial business or a small business than our non-veteran counterparts. And I think a lot of that has to do with, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, just the ambiguous lifestyle of being in the military for any duration of time, right? Like, everybody thinks that the military is a structured organizational beast where you know what you're doing every minute of every day, going out like 3 months, and we know that's bullshit, right? Like, how many times have each of us shown up for PT expecting one thing, and then by noon I'm jumping out of an airplane? Like, wasn't supposed to be doing this today, but all of a sudden I'm at Green Ramp, put my chute on, and I'm jumping out of an aircraft. So do you guys think that lifestyle of living in an ambiguous journey, and like Dr. Chapman, like you said, just embracing the grind, right? In the military, we call it embracing the suck. Just sucking it up, doing what you need to do to be successful. You guys think that has played like a huge role in your successes as small business owners?
I would say that it's extremely an important role in my success. Mediocrity is not an option. As a veteran, I mean, we learn to basically embrace the suck, like Mike said. We learn to overcome many obstacles throughout our career. Transitioning on a day-to-day basis is a chore for us. So going into a career where you ultimately are set up for failure and just telling yourself on a daily basis, I'm not going to let myself fail, that's a mental struggle in itself. I mean, dealing with adversity in a restaurant industry as alone from, you know, 53 restaurants.
When you hear about restaurants, you hear a lot of people say, man, that's a dangerous venture you're getting into.
Yeah. It's grounds for disaster. Just the way that the restaurant business is going in today's society. I mean, we're moving towards a fast casual concept. I mean, people don't like to dine in. They would prefer to get their food, go home, spend time with their family. They're away from them enough. So, you know, I mean, you can't really blame them. Right. But yeah, just dealing with the adversity that the military offered and so many obstacles that you had to overcome. I would say that set me up for success, just that in itself.
Yeah, Doc, would you agree?
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, the way that the military is set up, there's going to be things that you're going to have to accomplish that you didn't think that you could accomplish. Rather, you go all the way up to something like special forces or just do basic training to on that first day, thinking about how you're going to do that or what that's going to look like. When you don't know what it's going to look like, it's an amazing thing when you finish it. And for me, there were some specific things that happened while I was in, when I was going through PLDC primary leadership development course, I did not pass land nav, and it was one of those things you only have one time to pass. But I remember when I failed, the suckiness of that. But there was not just necessarily the cadre, but the people in my team that were there for me and kind of comforted me and giving me the ability to step up and do it again. And it's hard when you know you only got one chance left. But what happens in those moments are things that those pictures you can take later on. I think the other thing that the military does very well is it acknowledges you when you have a success. Right. I think psychologically, we walk around defeated as people because of things we've experienced. Not necessarily from, I'm not going like a Freudian standpoint, but things that we've encountered early on in life follow us. What the military does a good job of is helping build you up when you accomplish something. You know, most people I know that are veterans have a wall somewhere with all their accomplishments on it. And I think if people have some place where they can look back and see like, hey, this is what I've accomplished, then they can remember that when they get into a struggle in the future. Like if I was able to do that, I'll be able to do this.
Right. And I've never met a single leader worth their salt in the military that didn't at some point overcome some adversity, struggle, or fail. Right. Like what the military does a really good job is it allows you to fail. Right. And get used to it. I think our civilian counterparts just don't have the stomach for failure a lot of times. And that fear of failure prevents them from even trying in the first place. One of the things about the military is like, I might not want to do this ruck in this 12 mile ruck in 3 hours. I might not want to, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because for all my saber rattling and emotions and feelings about how much I don't want to do this, I'm not going to come in last. I'm not gonna be the guy that fails, you know what I mean? And those times that we do fail in the military, we really take to heart. And then we, 9 out of 10 times from what I've seen, people get back up, they dust themselves off, and they go back to the school that they failed, they take the test again that they failed. Or like me, for example, when I failed Pathfinder school, when I went to Jumpmaster school, I went to Jumpmaster school more than once. I left and I was like, man, well, my only option is I'm going back. You know what I mean? So I think to both your point, that's probably a big part of why veterans are so well equipped to be entrepreneurs. And ironically, that's one of the things that corporate America and corporations in general don't see when they consider military experience and how they can best leverage that is just that aspect. Like, okay, this didn't go well. We're going to do it again until we get it right. So I've always said this, and corporations in general leave a lot on the table when it comes to veterans. And I'm not just talking about soft skills like leadership and discipline and commitment and all that jazz, but it is the ability to overcome adversity and failure and not lose momentum that veterans are really good at. And you guys, both of you are great examples of that. So
I want to add one thing to that really quick. Because you were talking about ruck marches, and I've never been a fan of ruck marches.
Nobody's a fan of ruck marches.
I'm a supply guy. But let me tell you, that whole slogan, how do you do 1,000 miles one step at a time, as cheesy as it sounds, when you really do a ruck march, you understand that.
Right.
Because you say to yourself, okay, well, you know, this weapon's getting heavier, but I'm just going to take this one step at a time, and I'm just going to think about the next step until I get there. At least that's what I did.
Right.
And I had to do that in my life a lot.
Right. And that's life in general. You know what I mean? But some of the skills that we transition over sometimes aren't helpful. Like how we interact in the military and how we lead, right? We provide purpose, direction, and motivation. But at the end of the day, and both of you are civilians now, I will be here soon and shortly, right? So that dynamic of expectation management in dealing with subordinates as civilians, they don't have to necessarily do what you say. How have you gotten past that? Like with the expectation, like, man, I can't just tell somebody what to do anymore because it's either going to be half-assed or just not going to do it. So like, how do I provide that purpose, direction, and motivation in a softer, maybe more gentler way to make that happen?
It all stems from the same seed per se. I mean, providing purpose, direction, and motivation is going to be your end result throughout your entire life.
Right.
Meet their needs, learning how to lead from the front. I mean, that's all things that I took from the military with me. And I know Doc Chapman can concur with that. Taking leadership skills with you and turning them into a civilian project per se, where you actually, I know that with me being in restaurants all day, any restaurant that I walk into, I make it a point to actually show the employees what to do as opposed to tell them. Because I think that the respect factor is a major aspect. I mean, in the military, they have to respect you.
From just my platoon sergeants all the way to my first sergeant, I had a lot of contact with the first sergeant as a supply guy, and sometimes the LT or the captain. And what I've learned from those leaders is that it's not about the rank, even though that exists in the military. There was always a structure. I remember when I was getting E5, what my first sergeant told me was, you know, it's not about, they're not going to respect you just because of the rank. It's about character. And that was one thing he always made, you know, a big deal. And I think remembering that as you go on, you go outside and keep those things in mind. And some of the things that were done in the military, I've done outside the military. So I've had a couple of different leadership roles.
So would you guys agree that in the military, outside the military, actually, having a vested interest in the people that work for you is really where leadership comes from, right? Because it's having that vested interest in the people that really makes them work harder for you, respect you. It's not just about dishing out orders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, respect is a major factor in the civilian world. It all stems back to people don't have to do what, I mean, even though you're their boss, there's plenty of positions out there and there's plenty of opportunities to go to if they don't necessarily agree with you. So working to keep employees happy is the ultimate goal, especially in the restaurant industry, because there's so much competition and so many different opportunities that people are adapt to knowing about and being recruited to, especially if you're good. It's just like being in the military. If you're good, you're recruited for all these military schools and advanced opportunities. Well, it's the same thing in a career path such as the hospitality business, where you are that good. There's always promotions going on. So I would say that I take pride in getting people to that goal, getting people to the point where they're ready to advance in their careers. But ultimately, having the respect from them, leading from the front, just as I did in the military, and showing them the right way to do something is the ultimate test to character.
So Doc, as a psychologist, and a veteran, right? So you have a unique perspective on anything because you've experienced military leadership, you've experienced civilian leadership, and you're a civilian leader as well. What leadership attributes are the best that transition over from the military, and what are the ones that just don't?
Okay, I'm going to come back to that question because I want to respond to that first question that you were asking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think when it comes to what we learn in the military or what we know about leadership and being invested in people, definitely it's important. Like, I think there's this idea that you're a boss. If you own a company or if you're a CEO, technically you're a boss, but if you really want people to operate at a significant level, then you can't boss them because you're gonna basically tap into their 2-year-old self that's gonna say, you're not the boss of me. If you really want to have people operate in high levels, you got to teach them how to be the bosses of themselves, which means that you have to invest enough time to know what are their goals and how do their goals collaborate, or how do those go together? How do they mesh with the unit or the company or your organization's goals? If you do that, then I think you're gonna plant a seed that will grow. It'll grow for you, profit for them, and profit for you. So I think the one thing that a lot of people do, whether it's military or you see this in the corporate world, I've seen it in academic worlds, and it's different in different circles. Sometimes you have academic leaders that you fear because it's like, and you might not expect that in the academic world, but it is sometimes like that. Like, if you don't do this, it's going to come down hard on you. But that's not a good way to manage people in general, particularly in this kind of echelon like academics, but it goes everywhere. If you want to create bosses per se, you have to treat them like they are a boss, not that you're the boss. That's my thought about that. And on to the second question. Could you repeat that second question for me, Mike?
Yeah, so in your unique experience being a veteran and a psychologist, what leadership attributes, skills transfer over from the military well, and which ones do not?
What leadership attributes and skills transfer over from being a soldier to the civilian world. Well, I think that when you come into any one of these branches, the whole idea is from basic training, you're being trained to be a leader. If you're able to, because there's a lot of things in the military with rituals and things that build cohesiveness and build purpose. I think that most military people are purpose-minded. So I think that's another thing that transfers over. That you tap into your team, you realize that people could choose to do other things. They chose to be with you this day and part of your company. I think that's another attribute. So those two would be, I think, the most valuable ones that I think of off the top of my head.
I want to chime in on Doc Chopman, his first thing that he had pointed out. And I mean, I face this every day in my career. You hit the nail on the head, Doc, by stating about the CEO, because I do run a lot of successful businesses. And by taking a vast interest in these people, it's kind of for them even better than having a direct boss come up to them and saying good job. Because, I mean, these people are working every day to create, you know, profit, to create successful businesses for me. And just by me coming in there and you know, even shaking some of their hands or telling them good job, for them it's almost better than hearing it from their direct boss, and they are going to work harder. I mean, I've always taken that part of the military with me, and I always like to be present. It, just as a, you know, a battalion commander would be present for an award ceremony, or for a commander just, you know, applauding good performance after a hard mission. It all stems back down to, you know, these guys are your lifeline. They're the reason that you have your business. And you really, really made a good point on that.
Thank you.
So it wasn't
one other thing I wanted to add, you know, like, I just wanted to add one more thing. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Say, like, you know, when I was in the military, one of the things that I wanted to do that I never really pursued was I wanted to be an officer. Part of that probably came because two of my
friends
were working either ROTC or at West Point. Sure. But I never got to take
it. I promise you it's overrated. Like, if you
want, you know what? All the things that I learned from leaders, rather was officers, non-commissioned officers, I have used in my civilian leadership world. Like I said, like when I was that associate dean for that brief period of time, or the chair, I used those things. Like those things that I saw in the LT or captain or the first sergeant or sergeant major that really resonated with me, I used. So right. It, that's the other thing that we're exposed to that maybe other people are not: great leadership.
Right. Or bad leadership, right? Because that is as impactful as good leadership. You know what I mean? Like, me and Rob were talking about this the other day. Like what's so unique about the military, and it's true with the civilian sector too. You take a little bit of a leader with you everywhere you go, whether good, bad, or indifferent, right? So those things that we learned from good leaders, we tend to carry those things forward. The bad leaders, we know that that's not how I want to be. You know what I mean? Each of us is a product of all the leaders that we've had throughout our careers, good, bad, or indifferent, right? And I always tell my guys, you know, there's only three types of leaders in the military: the ones that you want to remember, the ones you don't want to remember, and the ones that you can't remember. You always want to be the first, right? I'd rather not be the second, but you always want to be the first. So part of that's taking a vested interest in your people, but also learning from bad leaders. Like, nobody wants to talk about the lessons learned from bad leaders, you know, but I've learned a great deal from bad leaders. I'm like, I am never going to be that guy. Not once, right? I'm going to carry my own bags. I'm going to take a vested interest in people's careers and their professions. I'm not just going to turn down 4-day weekends for absolutely no reason other than, you know, oh, I might need this specialist one day for whatever reason, in case this Connex needs to be downloaded. You know what I mean? Like, you treat people like adults, and the return on investment in that is huge. It makes my life easier as a leader, as a commander, right? Especially when I empower my subordinates. I never wanted to be one of those peers that was just spinning their wheels, taking every project on by themselves for fear of failure. I got people for that, dude. I have 120 dudes sitting in my organization that can help me lead, manage, and execute whatever we have going on. But some people just don't get it. They just don't get it. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to be bringing back Sergeant First Class retired Rob Carpenter and Dr. Chapman to further discuss Rob's journey through entrepreneurship, transition,
small business ownership as he battles PTSD and suicidal ideations. Those are issues that face a lot of veterans as they transition from the military into the private sector. And I'm really looking forward to his story and his take on the things that he's learned and his battle with those demons. So I hope you guys tune in next week for the War Room Podcast. Until then, always remember, never be so afraid to fail that you forget how to win.
You've just been debriefed in the War Room with Michael Blanco. If you've enjoyed this week's meeting, make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. As always, remember, don't be so afraid to lose that you forget how to win.